Matthew 28 at verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. Keep in mind, that is, we didn't read that this morning, but that's finding the tomb empty. The soldiers were so scared they couldn't speak or move from what they had seen. Everything that happened, which is reported earlier in Matthew's gospel. They reported everything that happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. People of God, today we celebrate the most important holiday, an interesting word that literally means holy day. Sometimes our modern culture kind of steps back from that meaning. But this one is a holy day. Most holy day on the Christian calendar. Resurrection Day is not about ushering in the warmth of spring in places where it gets cold, or even ushering in the dry season here in Guam. It's not just about that. It's not just about egg hunts and eating chocolate bunnies. Despite modern culture's attempt to reinvent this day of celebration, Easter, Resurrection Day, is all about commemorating Christ's death, and on the third day, he rose from the dead. It's all about the freedom and victory we have because of that first Resurrection Day. The resurrection is historical truth at the center of everything we believe. I have a favorite music video called Dance Your Shoes Off. A Baptist church in Texas had a huge crowd of people, and they all were dancing, and I'll give away the ending. When they were all done with their beautiful, worshipful dance, when they left the field, they left all their shoes. And then the narrator comes on and says, thousands of shoes were given to homeless and needy people that day. But I only tell you that to tell you this. At the beginning of the video, the narrator comes on as a young woman is beginning a very inspired worship dance. He gives the narration and says, "No event in human history has been more well documented and accounted as true as the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It's true, as I said. I was thinking, by the way, as we sang, I mentioned something about the song. Sometimes we do use some metaphors, so not everything in our songs or the scripture is literally true, but it is all truth, certain truth of God, from God. On this Resurrection Day, I would like to discuss a couple of news items, one old and one relatively new. The old news is our text this morning. As we think about our worship and the events of that first day Jesus was raised from the dead, we are not surprised yet profoundly disheartened that immediately a plot to deny the truth of what happened was developed. While the women were on their way, it says. Apparently, when the women left, the angel left, and the guards were apparently freed from whatever we could call it, this trance. They couldn't speak, they couldn't move. The text says they weren't asleep. They were told a lie about that they had slept. But they weren't asleep, they just couldn't move. That was so stunning an event to witness that they were devastated, in a sense. So, they went into the city to tell the Jewish priests about these amazing events. Now, it doesn't say so directly, but the text and certainly the original language suggests that they told the priests what really happened, that Jesus rose from the dead. We don't have a video of that. I wish we did. It must have been amazing. Friday, Max Lucado's helping us understand the tomb suggested that it was some kind of explosion. I don't know about that either. We just know it must have been amazing, and it scared the daylights, probably the angel as well as the event, scared the daylights out of the soldiers. Now, they were probably Roman soldiers temporarily assigned to be temple priests. They probably knew they might not, they might be in significant trouble for not being able to secure the tomb. Very common in those days, and Romans especially, if a soldier allowed for an escape of someone he was in charge of, he would be killed. These guys knew that, but it didn't stop them from telling the priest the truth of what happened. They may have had no idea they were in trouble, though, because of the significance and power of what they had observed. How could any soldier stop this obvious work of a servant of the Most High God? How could any soldier stop the resurrection of Jesus Christ back to life from the dead? It probably didn't occur to them that they would be in trouble. I believe that they would have described what they saw sufficiently to convince them this was truly an angel, not some disciple dressed up like an angel. The priests and elders concocted a plan. The original words here indicate they offered them enough money to get them to lie to their superiors. They certainly could have faced the death penalty, as I said, for sleeping on duty, which they didn't, but they were told to say that. They could have faced the death penalty for that particular lie, and they probably would have, except the priests and the high priests and the elders satisfied Pilate, satisfied the Roman officers in charge on that matter to keep them out of trouble. The text also says something very interesting. That last sentence we read, that's their story to this very day. I may have told you before a bit about a young woman in my previous congregation who was communicating with a Jewish person that she knew and she came in contact with. And she kept referring to me and asking me for advice about this discussion. Not that I'm a big expert, but I was her pastor, so she was talking with me about that. And it became crystal clear to us that Jewish people, this was not this year, this was 6 years ago or so, but still, figuratively speaking, to this very day, they are buying this hook, line, and sinker, as it said. They still believe this lie. So, to modern news. It was not real recent. In 1985, a group of very liberal scholars were assembled to reevaluate the person of Jesus Christ and to deconstruct the biblical account surrounding him. Now, I'm going to tell you maybe not a secret. I really dislike misleading names like Planned Parenthood. It's not Planning Parenthood at all. Well, this group of scholars picked a misleading name, the Jesus Seminar. So if you see anything about the Jesus Seminar, there's a few things you need to know, and I will explain. The members concluded that the biblical claims of Christ's divinity were false, and that the accounts of his physical resurrection were fabricated and made up. In fact, they discounted much of the New Testament itself as fictional. Their influence can still be felt in some kinds of works like the Da Vinci Code, and there have been other movies and books written about this same kind of thing. When you see major news magazines running cover stories like, "Did Jesus Really Exist?" which happens every year, this time of year. I don't know if you see it in your computers, but I sure do. They always want to revisit that question. Does he really exist? And most of the time, well, I don't click on them because I know what I'm going to find. They're going to try to talk you out of believing in Jesus. That's what they do. Okay? You can be sure that when you see those, that someone associated with the Jesus Seminar will be quoted in the material. It is their mission to discredit the truths of Scripture. Dr. Albert Mohler is president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and leading commentator in our culture. Some consider him to be, and I share this opinion, one of the most intelligent and insightful Christian leaders in the world. We were blessed to hear him in person at the Ligonier Conference back in 2009. He was impressive then, and he remains impressive to this day. But the year before I met him, 2008, Dr. Moeller wrote a commentary in response to the Jesus Seminar claims. It is not merely a reasoned response to the wacky claims of the Jesus Seminar. It is a bold, celebratory examination of the true historical Jesus, risen, reigning, and coming again. And so, I would like to share it. The scandal of the empty tomb, the glory of resurrection. I do not think that anyone anywhere at any time brings dead people back to life. That blunt assessment comes from John Dominic Crossan, the leading figure of the Jesus Seminar, and one of the most influential authors in the post-Christian, sometimes called postmodern, world. Thomas Sheehan, another fellow of that seminar, put it even more directly. Jesus, regardless of where his corpse ended up, is dead and remains dead. The claims that Jesus actually rose from the dead on the third day is perhaps the greatest scandal of authentic Christianity in the face of modern secularism. The bodily resurrection of Jesus is so absolutely fundamental and necessary to biblical Christianity and to the gospel itself that the abandonment would mean the end of Christianity as revealed in the Bible. Jesus would be just one more Palestinian rebel, because there were many others, one more wisdom teacher with a ragtag group of disciples. Some time ago, in time for Easter, the Jesus Seminar came out with the Acts of Jesus advertised as the search for the authentic deeds of Jesus. Now, please understand, I am discrediting this, okay? So if anything sounds like I'm in favor of it, I'm quoting Dr. Moeller as he explains this. So they were looking for the search for the authentic deeds of Jesus. True to form, the fellows of the seminar have rejected most of the content of the New Testament as just legendary or made up. Using their customary procedure, they vote by colored beads. Red bead means authentic. Pink means probably authentic. Gray, probably not authentic. And black, definitely not authentic. So it's the opposite of a red letter version of the Bible, actually, in some ways. The seminar found, now get this, this is the kind of believers they are, 16% of the events of the New Testament were considered to be either authentic or probably authentic. Less than one in five. 16%. Way back in 1993, the Jesus Seminar released their version of the New Testament Gospels. They used that same color coding system. The seminar voted that only 18% of the sayings of Jesus recorded in the New Testament are either true or probably true. Put simply, their red letter edition of the Gospels shows very little red. So, turning to the central issue of the resurrection of Jesus, the seminar released the following conclusions. One, the resurrection of Jesus did not involve the resuscitation of a corpse. Two, belief in Jesus' resurrection did not depend on what happened to his body. Three, the body of Jesus decayed, as do other corpses. Four, the resurrection was not an event that happened on the first Easter Sunday. It was not an event that could have been recorded by a video camera. They didn't exist, okay? Actually, that kind of points to how ridiculous is their case. But I'll go on. The fifth point is not necessary to believe in the historical veracity of the resurrection narratives. Now, you've all heard the phrase, thou protestest too much. That's what I'm describing to you. These people are protesting so much against the resurrection that they are actually looking silly to those of us who know it is the truth. This denial of the resurrection as historical fact is now very common in modern theology. By the 19th century, actually, the biblical critics made a distinction between the mythic Christ and the historical Jesus. Later, critics would rename this division the history of Jesus versus the Christ of faith. With the rise of historical criticism, which is a whole other subject in itself. The resurrection and the miraculous world of the New Testament were simply out of date, old-fashioned. Rudolf Bultmann, one of the most influential New Testament scholars of the 20th century, commented, "It is impossible to use the electric light and to avail ourselves of modern medical and surgical discoveries and at the same time believe in the New Testament world of demons and spirits." So we know now, claimed Bultmann, the bodies do not rise from the dead, and it is high time Christians stop making such claims. Bultmann attempted to rescue some spiritual meaning from the disciples' belief in the resurrection, but later critical scholars saw the little worth recovering. Gerd Ludemann, formerly of Vanderbilt University, minced no words but simply states, "The tomb of Jesus was not empty, but full, and his body did not disappear, but rotted away." Marcus Borg, another fellow of the Jesus Seminar, denies that the empty tomb is necessary to the Christian faith. "I think the resurrection of Jesus really happened," he said, "but I have no idea if it involves anything happening to his corpse, and therefore I have no idea whether it involves an empty tomb. So I would have no problem whatsoever with archaeologists finding the corpse of Jesus. For me, that would not be a discrediting of the Christian faith or the Christian tradition." Did anybody with me get dizzy in that circular reasoning? I hope you did. I hope you realize that that is circular reasoning that is ridiculous. He says the empty tomb does not matter. Well, look at the record. The Apostle Paul saw this very differently. Speaking for the modern secular naturalistic worldview, the Jesus Seminar may dismiss the resurrection as a myth, claiming that as all right-thinking moderns know, dead persons simply do not rise from the dead. Paul, who evidently would not qualify for membership on the Jesus Seminar, nor would I, nor would Howard, or any of the rest of us, Paul says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. 1 Corinthians 15:13-14. So that is the truth. Paul sets himself and the true church, us, against Bultmann and the Jesus Seminar and everyone and anyone who denies or derides the empty tomb. Either the tomb is empty or our faith is in vain. Paul wants nothing to do with Bultmann's efforts to find a spiritual meaning without the historical event, nor with the Jesus Seminar's anti-supernaturalism. Against modern skeptics, Paul cared deeply about whether the tomb was empty. So you might by now be asking yourself, why do so many hate the idea of the risen Lord Jesus Christ? Why do they go to all this effort? This is craziness. They're so trying to deny this truth. Well, it's because the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the vindication of God's purpose in sending his Son into the world to redeem sinners. That's earth-shaking, folks. You may be used to it, but that was earth-shaking when you first understood it, as it was when I first understood it. Jesus paid it all, as Brother Jeff said. It's paid in full, and it's continuing to be paid in full. It is paid now and forever. A world full of degenerate moderns who do not even see themselves as sinners in many cases want nothing to do with Jesus Christ as our sinless substitute who shed his blood for the remission of our sins. The work of the Jesus Seminar tells us virtually nothing about Jesus, and it is pure distortion. But it tells us a lot about the liberal scholars who sit around with their colored beads creating a Jesus in their own image. That's what they're doing. The Jesus invented by the Jesus Seminar is a Palestinian smart aleck who sounds like a cynical and sarcastic guy. Coincidence? Sorry, maybe not real funny, but that's exactly what they are. They're creating Jesus in their own image. No historical apologies are needed for the New Testament, people of God. The Jesus Seminar fascinates the media because its reports make for good stories and maybe some advertising. But the church knows the true story, the real story, and celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what we're doing today. The tomb was really empty. The Jesus of history is the Christ of faith. There's no distinction. Looking into the empty tomb, the women heard the angels ask, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen." It's rather amazing to look back at how many times he said that before it happened. Some people seem that they were still surprised, but he predicted it because he is Almighty Creator God. He knew what happened. He had regular contact with the God of the heavens and earth, the God who knows everything, past, present, and future. So he did not himself live in the future while he was here on earth, but he knew. He knew the truth. That has been the faith of the true church throughout the centuries. That is my faith. I pray that it is your faith, because there are a lot of people trying to distort the truths we know. That will be the faith of the true church when the risen Christ returns to claim his own. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Praise God for Dr. Moeller. I couldn't have said it better myself. So to those who are overwhelmed by the cares of life and burdened by the weight of the world during this resurrection season or ever, I urge you to look to the risen Christ. You can find him. The Jesus Seminar can't make this not true. This is the truth. And the people who oppose it are, what's the phrase, tilting at windmills, making themselves look foolish by trying to deny the truth. I urge you, look to the risen Christ. Do not fall for any old or new schemes that undermine this brilliant truth of God's word. May his grace, peace, and presence surround you and your loved ones not only in this resurrection season, but every day throughout the year. He is risen. And you should say, risen indeed. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this amazing true story. Amazing that you raised Jesus from the dead, that you let him be taken to the cross to pay for our sins, that you let him rise again, that he showed up to many people, even at one time 500 at the same time. This is true. This has been proven true, and no matter how many want to deny it or oppose it, it remains the truth of your word and the gospel. Lord, we thank you for it. We ask that you help us to live in it, live in a way that we reflect and pass along the truth of your word to all who will listen. We thank you for Resurrection Day and every day for the rest of our lives that we can live in Jesus Christ. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.